You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 285. Lisa Quinn's favorite podcast. Jeremiah Morrill here, joined by executive video, audio producer, engineer, running expert, Zachary Burcham, and my forever co-host, Mr. Dakota Davis. What do we have planned today?
Today's episode features Mr. Travis Thompson, who is from TNT Endurance Sports, and there TNT Endurance Sports is going to be hosting the Newcastle Half Marathon here in Newcastle, Indiana. That is coming up in September of 2023. We're going to be talking to Travis a little bit about his background, how he got into endurance sports and running specifically, and then we're going to talk about the different events that TNT has planned for the year of 2023, how you can get involved and how you can get signed up and where all that happens. And then at the very end of the show, Jeremiah is going to talk a little bit about Kyle Larson and the Indianapolis 500. So make sure you stick around to find out what that's about along with me.
This show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you. Other times we'll make you laugh, but hopefully you'll always learn something new. Listen, if this is going to be a racing show, we're going to talk racing. We're going to talk about racing on feet, and we're going to talk about racing with some Chevy horsepower behind you.
The two types of racing that Zach is interested in.
This is the Zach Bertram show, everybody. I've been telling people that the Boss Hog of Liberty is, nobody is Boss Hog. It's like Hootie and the Blowfish. No one of us is Hootie. I might be Darius at times, but we're a team, and we talk about team stuff here. Just did 20 minutes in the Patreon. The super secret extra bonus content that helps this show go around. It's where we share our deepest, darkest secrets about our battles with the government, Dakota.
That's true. Patreon.com/BossHogOfLiberty, or you can go to BossHogOfLiberty.com and click the support now button. That is where you can go to support the show on a monthly basis every month. Starting out as little as $5 a month. I think that we still have Stone Aldridge from all the way in Georgia. He's at $1.37 a month, so we're not picky.
Until his debit card expires. Whenever that is, that's when Stone will fall off. But until then, man, listen, we've strung together about 55 months with Stone so far.
Yeah.
That's paying off.
Yeah, he must have got a brand new debit card.
We will play the long game.
We got lucky. If you sign up at $50 or more a month, you get a shout out at the front of every episode. And those folks are Miss Christy Avery from all the way in Fort Wayne, Indiana. She's our favorite Norwex dealer. Then we have Mr. Jonathan Phillips, who is our favorite car dealer at Andy Moore Buick and GMC. And then we also have Mr. Anthony Meyer, who is a true American hero, trucking his goods all across the fine highways of these United States. And we appreciate Anthony and all of the memes that he makes of this show.
I've been supplying Anthony memes, and he finally said, that one's too much for me.
Oh, boy.
I sent one, and it was too spicy.
I want to see this. Because Anthony shares some despicable memes.
I will send it to you guys after the show. But I sent one.
Be sent over Signal. Where it's like, no one's looking at that.
I might print it out and mail it to you.
Don't use Facebook.
I'm worried about it.
I sent it to Anthony. He said, oh, no. So anyway, if you want to be in on that, you can join the Patreon. We appreciate those guys very much.
You also get show notes before the show starts. You get access to the Facebook group. You get 20 minutes of extra content every week. And then occasionally we send you some gifts in the mail over the Christmas. Over Christmas time, we sent all of our Patreon members a free T-shirt. So there's a bunch of extra perks that also come with it. And that's most of that stuff is all at any level. So make sure you check it out. And then also for merchandise, if you want a Boss Hog of Liberty T-shirt, then send one of us an email, Dakota@BossHogOfLiberty.com or Jeremiah@BossHogOfLiberty.com. We will send you over a jot form and get you some merchandise.
Zach, do you want an email address? Do you want more responsibility for your unpaid job?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
See, he's not left out. He just doesn't want to.
There's like moderating tools now in the chat. so I could like kick people out of the chat.
Really?
Or like, nice. Yeah, there's all like banned from stream. Wow. I can block keywords, which I don't know what keyword I would block, but yeah, I was like looking at all
I'm
this.
I'm sure something will pop up one day.
Yeah, I'll come up with something. It'll be really,
it'll be really,
you know what it'll be? Like volume. I'll just block volume. it's too quiet, too loud. I'll just.
I'm going to be honest. They're not complaining about it right now. So no. Things are looking good.
Initially, but Roy, we had the mics.
Well, that was an intentional blockage on Zach's part.
Yep.
That was professionalism. All right, Dakota, what do you have planned for us?
All right, Travis, let's talk a little bit about you. We'll talk about your background a little bit. I'm not going to tell any stories about when I used to work for you.
Okay. All right. those should have been Patreon stories. Wait, well, let's start. We will just real quick. Over under, did he cause some over or under $1,500 in equipment damage?
Oh, no. Dakota was a great employee, in all seriousness.
Did Chase Payton work for you as well?
He did. Yeah.
Did Chase cause over or under $1,500 in equipment damage?
I don't remember damage from these two. I could have forgotten, but I don't remember. Yeah,
you've forgotten.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, well, remind me then.
There was a time where I won't say the name, where we were mowing. But there was
one of his valued customers.
There was a retaining pond in front of this place, and I was mowing around the sides, and I had to bail on the lawnmower because it flipped over on me.
Oh, wow.
Because the hill was real steep.
I think I'm hearing this for the first time.
I don't know that it caused any damage to the mower. We had to get a truck and pull it out.
Okay.
And then we had to go over the area to fix a rut.
Dakota, did it cause you any emotional damage?
It was scary. I mean, I'll say that. It was pretty scary. I had to, like, we wear seatbelts on the mowers.
Yes.
So there was this moment where it was like one fluid motion. I had a hand going down to undo the seatbelt, and then I was lifting up the arms to kill the engine. And jumping out at the same time. It was.
I mean, a riding mower is an inverted helicopter with sharpened blades.
Yeah.
So if it starts to roll, there's a panic because your logic part of your brain is like, I don't want this thing on
but
top
you
of
know,
me.
Like,
it's obviously going to fly.
Travis did have, like, the equipment we used was nice. So it wasn't like it was old, crappy stuff.
Right.
To where.
Not when you started using it. And,
So it was like the engine, there are multiple kill switches in case you have to bail on it. So it was all good, but
it all worked. Everything worked.
I don't know. So I didn't cause $1,500 worth of damage to the company for sure. But yeah. Let's talk about your business ownership and where you've stepped into these leadership positions.
Yeah. So the business you guys are referring to is Olive Leaf Landscaping. That I've owned and operated going on 23 years now. So that's where I make my living is doing that, doing commercial maintenance, utility maintenance, and mainly utility restoration, following utility companies when they tear up people's yards, we fix them. So that's the business that I own and the business that pays the bills.
Yeah. I'm the guy that makes the mess.
Yeah, just make bigger messes. More messes.
There we go. Job security. I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
No.
So you started whenever I worked for you, which this was when I was in high school. You weren't running.
High school was a lot more recent for you than it was for the rest of us.
Right. My 10-year reunion's coming up. But you weren't running or doing any kind of sports or things that I remember of, at least. So is this whole endurance sports avenue kind of a new thing for you?
It is. So in high school, that's a lot longer than 10 years ago for me. I was an athlete and I enjoyed all three seasons of sports, but I never enjoyed the running of those sports. Give me a ball, put the ball, in play and let's do something with that. But the actual running, I did not enjoy. And after high school, no, I did not run at all. So running has just been last couple years that I've started doing this.
What sports did you play?
I did football, basketball, baseball.
Oh, dang. Okay, yeah. You were fully loaded.
Yeah. So I enjoyed, loved all that, but the actual running.
You actually did it, unlike that congressman from New York who said that he was Correct. Santos. It's not that kind of a thing.
Yeah, yeah. You can go back and look. I actually did.
Still
it.
Got the letter jacket and everything.
It's in the closet. There we I go. Think I can wear it.
Ready. So what,
Christy Avery wants to know if you fixed the yard that she actually accidentally drove into in Newcastle a few years ago. She was, oh, yeah. we were at the Oyo at a concert, or at a comedy show. And somehow Christy thought that, Julie Avenue turned right and went straight into,
Give her this.
What used to be DL Couch, and she buried her Chevy in the DL Couch yard.
The Oyo has very interesting entryway and exits. They're nowhere near the hotel. They're just if you come in from the side she was coming in from the south, you just kind of meander through their own little path through
it
the
It was
yard.
Dark.
Yeah, and it was dark. And
I think it might have been snowy, too.
Yeah.
Conditions were not ideal.
No.
But, Do you have a contract? Did you have a contract down there at DL Couch?
No, that was not us.
Somebody else reseated it, Christy. You're off the hook.
So, Was this getting started in running? Was it like for me to get into fitness? It was 4 years ago. I set a New Year's resolution, and I've stuck with it now for 4 years this January. So, were you a New Year's resolutioner? Was it you were middle of the year and just decided to go, or was there something else?
It was in January, but it was not a conscious New Year's resolution, and really, it wasn't about running. What it was more about was mental toughness. What I realized in my life was I lacked discipline in a lot of areas, and I wanted to increase discipline. And what I chose as the vehicle to do that with was endurance sports. So running was the first thing because it's the cheapest, and you can go out and start running. Now you can get into a lot of expensive shoes and clothes and things like that. But in general, you can go out and start running.
Dakota's been running in some sort of a wool cashmere blend, it sounds like.
He's got the fancy stuff. No. but I wanted to do something that was going to be hard, something that was going to take discipline, or I was going to fail. It wasn't something that I could just go out and do just on my own as I was at that point. So that's where it started. Well, it was just a realization of I needed to better myself. And that's what I chose to do. And it's been working. And it's been a very amazing journey so far because and what I anticipated was the discipline it took to be able to go from literally my 20-minute interval when I started would be a 60-minute jog. Wasn't even a run, just a jog, and then a 90-second walk for 20 minutes. So I would just do that. And it took me a while till I could build up to a couple-minute run and then a five-minute run. So I went very slow. I did a very slow plan. And eventually, from January starting till the following January, I ran a marathon. So a
little birdie told me that Dakota's 30 days into this, and he's already saying in the house, when can I start breaking records? He thinks he's going to the Olympics.
My wife and I were talking about this the other day. I have a tendency to get really obsessed with things, and it's been something my whole life. And we're going to circle back around to the discipline speech, but then we'll talk about this first. But yeah, my wife and I were talking about her running because she ran cross country. So now I'm running 3 mile increments, and she's like, "Yeah, I was running 3 mile increments too." And I was like, "I hit my best time. It was like 29 minutes, just over 29 minutes, or 27 minutes." And she's like, "My best time in high school was like 25 something," and I was like, "Wow, this is really good." And she's like, "Some of the guys though were doing like 17."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh yeah, I know. I'm I'll be there soon. And you know, she's like, it's not a competition. You don't need to be like those guys. They're, you know, 140 pounds.
You know, Dakota,
and six feet tall.
They run in age brackets. You don't have to be doing what a 16-year-old does.
I told her, you weren't here,
but Gavin is that runner. He was sitting in your chair 2 weeks ago.
Gavin is the one you watch. You're like, oh gosh, here comes the little skinny kid, just like no weight on him at all.
He's got a size lean, 26 waist.
Also, what you find is that, like, to go from like a 30-minute 5K to a 27-minute 5K is not horribly difficult, depending on where you're coming from. The 27 to 24, more difficult. 24 to 21, you're getting hard. 21 to 18 or sub 18, you are training. You are putting in, like, the time comes off pretty easy at first, but once you start nailing down, all of a sudden you're struggling to not lop it's off like 10 seconds
right.
over a 5K. So yeah, it gets
it's kind of like, so for the past 4 years, I've been lifting weights, and there's this phenomenon in weightlifting that's called noob gains, is what it's called. And basically you take an untrained person and you put them on a strength training program and they rapidly progress. You put them on progressive overloading week by week, and the weights are going up rapidly. They're building muscle rapidly, and it's the changes in the body are occurring super fast, and then eventually that tapers off. And usually it's about the 4 to 5 year mark, and some folks even sooner based on your age, where you kind of stagnate. You're making small gains, like, after, like, I think it's like 6 years of training, you can expect to put on up to 2 pounds of muscle per year, which is, you know, very low. My first year of serious weight training, I put on 10 pounds of muscle.
Wow.
So it's like it stagnates, you know, and I think that's kind of what you're saying with the running. As you start, you know, your times are increasing or decreasing. You're getting a lot faster. You can run further. And then as time goes on, your progress slowly starts to peel back to where eventually you'll kind of be at this comfortable place where you're like, I can push harder and you can keep progressing, but it's going to take a lot longer to get there.
Zach, this sounds a lot like qualifying in the Indy 500.
Yeah.
Once you going from 215 to 230, okay, you can do that. But going from 230 to 236...
Or even
that's
in the first six, like, they'll bring out a new chassis in a race car series. The first year, they'll just be staggering increases in speed. And then now with IndyCar, they're on the same chassis now for like year 12 or 13 or whatever it is. And
there's nothing they don't know about that.
They are like
equipment
sanding down little bits to hopefully get a thousandth of a second. And that's kind of what you get down to at a certain point. Yeah.
So it's right. What I'm saying is, it sounds infinitely relatable, even if you're not a runner.
I think there's a lot of things in life that relate to that too. Yeah.
You're honing.
You know, you get it's just like starting a new job. You're all excited. You're learning all kinds of new things, and then all of a sudden, you know, then all of a sudden you're 10 years in, and you're like, ugh.
Ah, you've perfected it, and you're now, Dakota, you're just enjoying mastery.
So you have to find
joy in being a master of what you're doing.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. You have to find joy in the little things that happen, or occasionally I'll get a Instagram message. Someone will be like, hey, how can I put on muscle and lose fat? And it's like, that little bit of that message is like, oh, that's really neat that someone thought to reach out to me for this question, because I don't think of myself that way. And then that gives you a little bit of more motivation to just keep pushing for a little while longer.
What I'm hearing is that if you're in your car and you're driving right now, Dakota at BossHogLiberty.com and let him know that you really do appreciate this show, because he's five years in pushing. And he really needs that next one to show up next
keeps
week.
Keeps me going.
Give him a little feel good.
Anyway, whenever Audrey and I were talking about that, she's like, you don't compare yourself to those guys, whatever. And I said, I feel like Nacho Libre whenever he gets his like fourth check in a row for losing wrestling matches, and he throws a check down. He goes, I want to win. That's what I felt like. I just get obsessed with things, and I get really competitive with myself. I have a really super competitive nature. But you keep talking about discipline when you were talking about this. Are you a Jocko Willink guy?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Stream ownership.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So I, yeah, Jocko got me seriously into it as well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Jocko. It was the Admiral. Do me a favor, Zach. Pull up the Google machine really quick because I'm blanking on a name. Look up.
Admiral James Stockdale ran for vice president 1992.
No, Admiral speech, make your bed.
Yeah, I know the speech you're talking about. That's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Very that speech came up in my face. Yeah.
William McRaven?
McRaven, Admiral McRaven. Yeah, he came up and his speech, it basically was, he said, if you want to change your world, make your bed. And it totally changed my perspective because I was having trouble like waking up on time and stuff. And that really got me into gear. So I looked him up, saw he was on Jocko's podcast.
Now, what do you do if your wife is still sleeping?
I don't make my bed anymore now.
This is the challenge I have is that I get up and go to work and she's still,
same here.
She's still sawing logs. I don't know. Yeah. The Admiral must be single.
That's the way it goes. Oh, but that speech, I encourage anyone to listen to that speech and also to check out Jocko. And you and I have talked before about David Goggins.
Yeah.
You're a David Goggins fan.
I am. He's very inspirational. If you don't know his story, check out his story because he's overcome a lot. And he's implemented extreme discipline into his life to accomplish things that he wants to accomplish.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, to the point of detriment with his knees and things. Yeah,
Zach, how do you've been running? You've run it every day for 368 days now, or
377.
Good Lord, 377.
Before the show, I thought it might come up.
How do you keep the discipline to do that every day? Where do you find the motivation? Just the I don't want it to quit. Is that the motivation?
A little bit at that point. There's also. And I don't know if this works for everybody. There's a level of self-loathing at times. Like I just get out and run. Like it's just not negotiable. It's like, I'm going to go do this. And I go out and go and run. This morning it was awful. It was raining. It was cold. I stepped in a puddle a quarter mile into my run. And so my feet were soaked. And then after that, then it turned into a negotiation of how far am I going to go? I'm like, I want to go 5, but then it was running late. There's a 2-hour delay today. Kids left school late. My wife's home with a fresh knee. So I got to get back to her. So I like negotiate into 4, kind of thing to keep it going. But just, I'm really good at just like, I plan it. I go to bed knowing I'm going to get up and run. I just know I lay the stuff out. If I'm running in the morning before work, I'm working a normal schedule. I lay the clothes out and it's just like, I'm just going to get this done. I get done in the morning because I hate, and this drives my wife nuts. I do it almost first thing, the first opportunity I get. So there's no chance for me to, Jeff, who's going to be here next week, Jeff at times will run at like 10 o'clock at night after all the stuff. I don't know how he does that. Like to me, as crazy as people think I am, I think that's insane. I just want to get over with because like after I've eaten dinner, I'm like, I don't want to sit around for a couple hours and wait. Like we ran after his New Year's party and I thought I was going to puke and I stopped eating 2 hours before. So I just, I don't know where it comes from. I'm just really good at being consistent and I could quit at this point. I don't have a goal of continuing to run streak any farther, but I'm like in a groove. So I'm like, I'll just kind of stick with it. And then just, So I'm really boring. And so I'm really boring to the point where it's really easy to build a routine. And I've done it every day for a year and a month or whatever, near in a couple of weeks. So
when I started running, I realized that how much of I would call Zach a sleeper savage. He doesn't really talk about it very much, but you run every day in shorts. Haven't worn pants for 7 years.
Super funny. I saw somebody that was in, I follow these people on Instagram all over the place for all different reasons. And there was somebody in Sweden and a guy ran by and like, look at this person. They're running in the rain. And it's cold. You couldn't see skin on the guy. I'm like, I do that. I'd be out in shorts. I'd be doing that in shorts. But yeah,
You did it when there was the -34-degree wind chill. You ran 2 miles in shorts.
Yeah. I had to be careful then. I really did think I might lose a leg during that. Like I had to come up with a plan, but yeah. And part of it too is that like, some people are impressed by what you do and that's a little bit motivation. The people that like literally call me out because I think I'm going to hurt myself or like think I'm an idiot. Those are really motivating people. I love to just,
in the news this week, there's a very prominent public figure who had, we'll call it the third leg, had some frostbite from exposure.
There's ways to keep. Yeah, you watch that. You want
Prince Harry? He was on Colbert talking about this.
Of course he was. He's talking about everything. It's really funny if you ever see a runner like in the wintertime and they're short a glove. You know what's going on. There's like,
Are you reusing that glove later?
I wash my gloves.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, like you, yeah.
We're here for secrets. That's
a, yeah.
Just the, tune into Boss Hog for some tips.
You run enough times, you figure out all the tricks for that. Like for any of that stuff. Like there was a discussion before the show about chafing. That's for real. Like I finished a marathon with a blood streak down my shirt from one of my nipples chafing through, and it had chafed. I mean, if anybody's familiar with Indianapolis, I'd stopped. I was bleeding at 38th Street, and I had
You're not the first person to be bleeding on 38th Street.
No. But I'm out, like I'm at the IMA or at Newfields, and this race ends at Washington Street. Like it literally, I am as far north as 38th Street. I've got at least 38 blocks to the south to run. You learn to deal with all that stuff. And it's been human stuff. So you just kind of learn to deal with all those fun situations. But, people that call me crazy are the funnest people. They call me an idiot even better. And when I'm running, I'll see people and they'll look at me like I'm crazy. And
your friends just flip you off.
I find that's hilarious. Or your brother tries to hit me with the car. I've had that a lot. Some people swerve at me. So there's a certain point where you're doing that and you get a kick out of that. Because you got nothing else to get a kick out of. You're being an idiot out there, so you might as well enjoy it.
What keeps you going, Travis?
You know, he touched on one thing when he was talking just about getting their stuff out the night before, like habit stacking. So, like, you start creating these habits that are just a small thing, you know, just getting your clothes out the night before. But that's one less obstacle in the morning. So I'm not really touching on what keeps me going, but that's one thing that does help the discipline and help. Mm-hmm. I guess it kind of does help keep you going because you're already building into your life. Like, okay, this is a part of my life now. This is what I want to do. Because it's for me. A lot of times runners, like we're talking about people that may say, you know, they're crazy. What are they doing out there? It's not for show for someone else. It's an internal battle, really. Mm-hmm. You're wanting to better yourself. You're wanting to get a new PR in your 3 mile, you know, you're wanting to get out there and beat that time. And, or you're just wanting to go longer. You're wanting to build some longevity. So, what keeps me going is just trying to find those new limits. You know, where can I push myself? Where, he talked a little bit about that transition from doing a 30 minute, 3 mile or, you know, roughly a 5K doing 30 minutes and getting that down to 27. Okay. Cause now you're running about a 9 minute mile. Right. And then going to that next level of, okay, can I get that down to 25? And that, cause now you're running in the eights, like, you know, so
right.
those are milestones that are fun to get to. And when you finally get to them and your thighs are burning, you know, because you're pushing yourself to the absolute limit. And then you're like, I did it. I can do that. So why can't I do more? And then you keep going.
So the first time that my running app, spoke it, it tells me miles and times in my headphones when I'm running. Mm-hmm. And the first time that it told me that my mile was under 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I like threw my hands in
the air. That was a win. Yes. That was a big win.
It's a barrier you've crossed through.
Yeah. It was exciting. So
it is.
Travis, tell us how you go from this is the hobby and this is something you're pursuing to now we're going to turn it into a business. You found an opportunity in the community or a passion that you say, I'm going to go from a runner to a promoter.
Yeah.
How does this happen and what did you create?
So early on, the program that I did when I started was a progression of you're going to train for 12 weeks and you're going to do a 5K, 12 weeks, 10K, half full. So you get a marathon in a year, right? Well, in that first 12 weeks, something inside me just said, like, I don't want to do this just to accomplish a marathon. Like, I don't want that to be the end game. Like, and I wasn't sure exactly what that was going to mean and what that was going to look like, but something was born then. And it just was in me to, I saw what I was getting from the discipline standpoint, and not only that, you're bettering your health, you're getting just, in better shape. In that year that I trained, I lost 40 pounds. I mean, so that was a lot of weight for me to lose. So, I mean, just all the benefits that came along with that. And along the way, somewhere I just realized I wish more people could experience this. Like, I wish more people had the opportunity or could just hear the story, have an opportunity to go run a race, just understand more about this, because I knew nothing about this stuff at all. And like I said, I got into it more for the mental aspect, not the running. But then once I got moving my feet, I realized, wow, like putting yourself in physical pain, and not pain like you're tearing up your knees or something. I mean, that can happen, but we're talking about muscle fatigue and just putting yourself right in those situations and then being able to overcome those is rewarding. And it just builds a stamina and a resilience into you that, you know, it's the vehicle that's worked good for me. So, but go ahead.
So then you turned it into TNT.
Yes. So what I wanted to be able to do was give back to my community. I've been in business in this community for going on 23 years. So I've been able to do a lot of stuff, a lot of landscape work, a lot of maintenance work, been involved in the community, supported a lot of community things. So I've been able to do that, but I kind of wanted that thing that I could say, okay, what could I do that would bring as much of the community that would want to be involved into this? So races, I've been running, you know, and it's like races is a thing that I think you can do. And when I started to, one of the first people I actually talked to, when I started TNT and started thinking about and dreaming about the Newcastle Mini Marathon was, Cindy Brooks with Miracle League. So this event is going to have, a half mile, a 5K, 10K half marathon. I literally want everyone in the community that would want to participate in some way to have a distance that they could accomplish. So that's why I stuck that half mile in there. And it's going to be a very easy, it starts and ends at the Y, the paved trail that's out there. It's very, conducive to folks with special needs. So I wanted to make sure that the whole community could be involved if they want to be.
Awesome. So what kind of an endeavor is it to say, I'm going to create Newcastle's mini marathon? How many people have to say yes? What kind of logistics go into this?
So it costs money to put on a race. So you've got to get sponsorship. Henry Community Health was on board from the get-go. They've been amazing. And so much so that they actually committed to a 3-year deal. So I wanted this to be longevity. I'm not doing this for a profit for the sense of me. I'm doing it for a profit for the sense of longevity in the community.
For it to be sustainable.
Sustainable. That's right. So when they did that 3-year thing, I thought, man, they, you know, and it's the hospital. I mean, you know, healthy community makes sense for them to promote that. So that was a big win. So getting that right off the bat and getting that commitment and the sponsorship tier that they went with was amazing. And so that helped. I've gotten other sponsors. I need more sponsors. I mean, that is definitely something that needs to happen because that's really the upfront cash flow that will help you go purchase. I mean, here's something I didn't know about. I want this event to have a big race feel to our small community. So one of those things is having timed bib chips. So I want people to have an official time whenever they come across that finish line. Well, there's not a lot of timers out there. And they're booked well in advance. So I've already had to book this person. I booked them back in the fall for the almost 1 year in advance. But that was one thing, like I just didn't, until I got into this world, I didn't understand all the logistics that went into this. Mayor York was on board right out of the gate. He was one of the other first meetings we had just to, hey, this is what we want to do in the community. We're going to have to block down some streets. Are you going to be able to help us with that? Of course, whatever you need. And he was the first person to register. So
now wait a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
What distance is Mayor York going to go with?
Well, he registered for the half.
Okay. Half mile?
Half marathon.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he may be an honorary registrant, meaning he paid the money. Okay. He's registered. He's getting bib number one.
Well, I'm just saying we have a very competitive mayor's race this year.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if they need him and Clay together?
Right.
Like waving and just trying to get to the, they're winning because they want to beat the next guy to the next person they can wave to on the course.
Yeah. Well, or if politicians say they're going to run the whole thing, you're going to have a bus catching people at the end because they're all shaking hands and kissing babies as they're trying to run a marathon. They're going to have the worst times possible.
Somebody's going to
stop. I don't know. It could go either way.
Somebody's going to stop them and accost them about nuts being collected in the park.
Yeah. Listen, I know both Mayor York and I know Clay Morgan. And if I know both of those guys, then they would be in last place simply because they would stop and talk.
That's what I mean. They're talking.
Just talking.
So what kind of a route are we talking about? Has that been determined yet for the full marathon?
That is on the website, Jeremiah.
Listen, we're a podcast. I'm going to get my crayons
out. Look at your
here.
Show notes.
This is a podcast. We're explaining it to the folks listening we're painting a picture.
Yeah. So, yes, there are routes determined, roughly. So there still needs to be meetings with, the mayor, the police department, just to make sure that logistically it's going to make sense and they'll have their two cents on, hey, why don't we think about this street versus this one? But roughly, I'll just say it starts at the YMCA, all distances. The half mile will probably be contained to the Wilbur Wright Trail. All the other distances, it's exactly a mile to come up here, about where the FC Tucker office is here. That's a mile.
Right outside Boss Hog Studios.
That's right. Right outside of Boss Hog. That's exactly right. So for a 5K, so we're going to run up here. You're going to run just a little bit more in the downtown area and then kind of head back. 10K is going to go down South Main Street a little bit more to get the distance there, kind of Baker Park area, head back to the Y. The half is going to go, it's going to come into downtown. It's going to wind through some of the downtown streets. We're going to go past the castle. We're going to go South Main, past Baker, down to 300. And that will be the turnaround point. You'll come back. Retrace your steps kind of, then go down Trojan, go past the largest and finest, go past the Hall of Fame. We're a basketball town. So that's one of the advertising draws here is what's unique about Newcastle. Well, basketball Hall of Fame is unique. So we're going to run past that, cut through the, First Financial Bank, the bank parking lot.
First Merchants.
First Merchants.
The older Mariana Bank, yeah.
Yes, First Merchants. Come up Bundy and run Bundy and work your way back to the Y. So,
and that's a full marathon.
That's a half.
That's a half marathon.
It's a half marathon.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And full marathon, they have to do it twice?
Well, yeah, but we're not doing a full marathon.
Okay.
We're just doing a half.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, a full Newcastle. No good, man. No good.
All right. So Dakota is signing up for the longest version that you have then.
Yes.
The half marathon.
Yeah, I'm planning on doing the half marathon.
Well, sounds like you're well on your way to training.
I was going to say, do you think he has a shot?
Oh, definitely.
With where he's at in the training? This race is in September.
The farthest I've ever ran in my life now is 3 miles.
You're good.
And I have to add 10 on to that.
You're good. You're going to get it.
My goal was to do a 1 hour, 50 minute.
Hour and 50 minutes?
Yeah.
That's a good goal.
Publicly setting that goal. I know it's lofty.
It's an aggressive goal, but you can do that.
Yes. I know it's aggressive. I'm going to try my hardest because now I've said it on the air. So basically the whole thing, I'm going to be pushing really hard.
Zach has some real soul searching to do because it's his weekend with the Taylor non-twins. Ricky and Jordan are racing at the Speedway.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's going to be the tough soul searching weekend for Zachary.
It's also peak camping season.
I also have a commitment from Jeff Watterson, previous guest, Jeff Watterson. He's going to start coaching me on this in June. He's going to whip me into shape. So
I may need to jump in on that coaching and training.
I'd like to do it together.
Yeah, I would love
you
to
live
do that.
Pretty close to me.
We're four miles away. 4 miles apart. Yeah. So that's just a warm up. We can take turns running to each other's house and then
not a warm up for me yet. I'll get there soon.
For Jeff, that's nothing. That's
yeah.
Nothing.
But, yeah, that's one thing I'm going to be asking Jeff next week. It's like, for me, I've realized with the 3 mile runs now is that before, whenever I was doing two, you get done with the 1 mile and you're like, halfway there. And you just keep pushing because you're halfway there. When you add a mile onto it, the 1 mile is like just a third of the way there. You kind of go into this autopilot mode for the middle mile. I'm wondering when Jeff's autopilot mode kicks in. Is it like just for forever? Like for 15 hours?
Probably depends on where he's at. Indiana's probably a little easier than other states.
I don't know. You've done a marathon. So yeah. What's...
For me, it's at about the 20-minute end mark where I start to... My heart rate kind of stabilizes. I kind of settle in to the run. So, you know, mile and a half, 2 miles, it, roughly. You're kind of, for me, that's what I've experienced.
Okay, so probably about the same. I mean, I just can crank it up.
Nice thing, too, is when you're racing, we actually get to do the race. Usually it's someplace you're not normally around. That kind of breaks it up into just, I do the mini in Indy every year in May.
I've never run with Zach, obviously, but I can tell with Zach, he's looking at the details of everything he's running by.
Well, yeah.
Zach is paying attention to every detail.
So, but like
of what he's running by.
The mini course in Indy, I know, but like the back of my hand. And so you have to get out of the corrals; they're crowded. So that's the first mile is just getting clear of people, and then you're just kind of taking, okay, here you can break it down. And luckily, that race is so different in terms of the feel, and the Newcastle half would be pretty different too, because the Y is kind of down in some little area. Newcastle is a small area. Like I joke about, like, oh my gosh, a marathon this town. Like when I trained for a marathon, I literally ran to different towns and then came back.
Yeah.
Like you could do. I ran from here to Moreland and back, but. You kind of break it up into like, okay, you're getting up out. The Y is in a hole. You're going to come up out of the hole. You're going to be thankful when you get out of that. That's going to be the first mile.
Yeah, and then rough. You get to. I was going to say your 5K. You've got people running straight uphill.
Yeah,
like it is a bitch of a starter.
The Y is in a hole, but that means you get to run out of it when you're fresh, and you get to come downhill when you're finishing up, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's pretty.
About your luck if you're in the 5K though.
You still have to come up and downhill. Down.
It's still
you still have to get home.
Yeah. You still have to get back. So yeah, it's still. I would much rather run out of a hole to start a race and then come back down the hill to go it to finish than to do the opposite. I would not want to go gangbusters for a mile and a half or 6.5 miles and then have to go run a hill to finish. Like I even and Jeff wasn't there, another training buddy of mine, because I've run quite a bit with Jeff, and we were doing a lot of 5 a.m. runs a couple weeks ago. I had a training run one time that ended at what people like here call the North Main Street Hill, and that's where my mileage hit, and I quit. I was done. I'm like, I hit my mileage. I'm good. Yep. He's like, what do you mean? The guy was with me. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, you can come pick me up or I'm walking home. And I did. and he ran around and did like 4 more miles, and he came and picked me up. But yeah, so like... Yeah, you kind of break up the race into little chunks and you kind of monitor your progress throughout the entire thing. Just kind of, and that makes it when you're training, it's you just kind of you get familiar routes and stuff and you can zone out after a few minutes and hopefully come out the other side doing it right. If nothing's going wrong.
So, Travis, tell me more about the event, the mechanics of it. How many volunteers do you need to put this on? How many people would you say is a realistic goal to have in the event? To paint the picture for the audience.
Yeah. So again, with the community. So for instance, in a half marathon, you're going to have roughly 6 to 8 aid stations. So like grabbing some water, maybe some nutrition along the way, something like that. What my vision is that I could get community businesses, organizations that would want to sponsor an aid station. So what I would see is that they say, okay, we're going to take aid station at mile one and we're going to own that. We're going to put our banner out there. We're going to advertise our business.
Primo's going to have just like chicken fettuccine Alfredo ready to go at mile four.
Carb up yeah. Right there. And yeah,
so, imagine
you'll be puking it pretty soon. Yeah. Yeah. But so, That's one thing. We're gonna have to get aid stations. Of course, we're gonna have to have involvement with blocking off streets, involvement with handing out the ribbons, all the registration. So there's all these logistical things that have to happen. And I do have a team that's going to be taking care of the real nuts and bolts of what actually occurs on that day. But the big things for volunteer is our aid stations, because it just takes a lot of manpower to get those done well. You know, I've seen races where it's self-serve, and you don't want to stop and have to fill up a water bottle. And, you know, you want to be able just to someone cheering you,
handing you one and saying,
cheering you on and saying, good job, you can do it. Here's your water, Gatorade, whatever you're handing out. That for me, the events I've done, I've enjoyed that a lot more. Whenever that's an enthusiastic bunch of people. And like I said, in my mind, if it's an organization, a business that works together and they come out and they just make it fun for themselves for that day. And that will in turn make it fun for the people participating and make for a good event when everyone's participating that way.
Jeremiah, will you man the Boss Hog booth aid station?
If it wasn't for the date, I would be there.
The Indy 500 comes first.
This isn't the Indy 500. Oh, this is the IMSA. I don't know. What the hell is this?
Is it IndyCar?
It's the sports cars at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's special. Inaugural. It's an inaugural event.
Okay.
Yeah, so at the world's greatest race course.
We'll let it slide.
No offense to Newcastle.
So mile one is literally right around this area, yeah. Right in this vicinity. So that would be a great aid station to have for sure.
Maybe we'll see if the Brian Nichols show can do it.
It's very possible.
The studio next door.
Brian should be signing up.
Yeah, we should see if Brian can sign up. He and him can pace together.
Brian, Caitlin, and Baby Meredith could all run it together.
Right. What should I expect? I've never done any kind of race like this. What can I? Is it going to be stressful?
You pay your nominal $500 entry fee.
Is it going to be overwhelming?
It should not be overwhelming. If we're putting on the event that I want to put on, it should not be overwhelming. It should not be stressful. You should feel the only anxiousness you should feel is what you're creating for yourself.
Now, if Dakota's leading, how does he know where to turn?
And because he will be in the lead, so we need to get this.
He already says he wants to be the fastest one by September.
Yeah. And there again's another volunteer opportunity. I will have someone leading the race, and it would be amazing if there was like a really amazing runner out there that would want to do some pacing. Because a lot of the bigger events, you have pacers that run at, you know, a 9 minute mile, an 8:30 mile, you know, whatever. At least we will have someone on a bike, and someone on the bike will be kind of leading the way. So that's if someone out there listening that is a biker or a runner that would want to do some pacing,
maybe
let me know.
Maybe Paul Morrill down at Tri County Power Equipment Milroy wants to take a quad.
I want to see it paced by one of those vintage
Schwinn.
Yeah, that he's rolling out there.
That would be actually really cool.
Talk him into it. He may, I don't know. On one of those vintage Schwinns, that hill may kick your ass. I don't know if you're going to outrun the runners up the hill.
I bet Paul could do it. He's a Marine.
He is.
And he could have like a little banner that advertises his bike restoration business on the back of it. And riding the bike.
I'll let you reach out to him.
This is a good idea.
You should pitch this to him.
All right.
Or hit up Russ Hubler and see if they'll throw you a brand new Dodge out in front. Just preferably something that doesn't put out a bunch of
exhaust. Get us a pace car.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. We're the racing theme here, right? Yeah. So the pace car would be a decent idea.
Let's see if we'll get a
Wagoneer
Durango.
Yeah.
No, so it's
infinite possibilities.
I don't need to worry about getting lost. This is one thing I was concerned about.
Yeah, because you will be in front, right behind the bike, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, okay.
We got that. There.
Is there a pickup bus? Is the city bus going to follow? And because I know that's the thing with the mini marathon in Indy. There's a bus. If you don't outrun the bus, you get picked up.
Yeah. Wow. And they've got Disney has the balloon ladies, right?
Yeah.
And it's, if you don't keep a certain pace, the balloon ladies sweep you away and you're done. No, we're going to stick it out for that last person that crosses the finish line. And my goal for this event, another thing to expect for this event, again, trying to bring that big race feel to our small community. I love the races where they say your name as you're coming down the stretch and, you know, Dakota Davis and you cross the finish line and then someone's there to put that, medal over your neck.
That would be cool.
Yeah. So that's just, these are things that I've enjoyed. And as I'm building this vision here and kind of building it out. These are the pieces that I just want to bring. So I want the event to be, if someone's going to put in the work to train and to come and take part in this, I don't want it to be something that they walk away from thinking, man, that was just, I'm never doing that again. You know, that was a lot of hype for blah. You know, I trained from January until September, and I want it to be, okay, it's the capstone to all the training, to all the effort. And it's like, yes, that felt good. That's what I'm trying to do.
What kind of a geographical range do you think that a race like this can draw in?
So the statistics are about a 50-mile range for a half marathon. So, you know, it's a statistic. But roughly for a half marathon, if you can pull from a 50-mile radius, you're doing really well.
So potentially runners from as far away as Greensburg, Indiana may be coming up.
Potentially, but
maybe Dayton.
That would be a stretch. You know, we're Newcastle.
Kenyans are not coming in to invade.
No,
we're probably gonna. It's probably gonna be a local.
Yeah,
winning.
Yeah,
Dakota. I think you've got a chance.
Listen, I'm either gonna be right up front, or I could be the guy that they're pushing on the back. The police department's like, can we take the barricades down? Yeah. And Travis is like, no, there's still one guy.
The Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings are in the NFL playoffs this weekend, and that's exactly what their fans say. They're either going to get blown out by 40 this weekend, or they're going to win the Super Bowl. There's no in between. It's one of those two, and that's where Dakota is.
I'm very hopeful that I'm somewhere in between.
Yeah, and that's another good thing about the bib chips, because you'll have these mats, you know, placed out there wherever, and you'll get. Our timer will get a reading of when they cross that mat. So you can tell, all right, you know, because we've got these four distances. Now the half mile is going to be pretty easy to track, but the other distances, you can tell exactly how many people in real time are still out there for that distance.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can kind of keep track of those people that are maybe struggling, you know, and you can go check on, you know, because we'll have the EMS. I mean, you've got to have that. People are exerting themselves, you know, and potentially things could go wrong. You know, I hope not. I really hope not. But those people will be available if need be. So
that's awesome. That's an exciting event.
Yeah, it is. I'm really looking forward to it. I've never, the entire time I've been on trying to become more fit, I have avoided running with everything I have. I've, you know, done stints on row machines. I enjoy the Airdyne bike. I jump rope. I'll do basically anything but run.
Yeah.
And then I don't know. I saw that you were putting on the half marathon, and I was like, that's pretty cool. My parents have done the mini marathon in Indy a handful of times. And I thought, well, I can't make it to 30 and let my dad keep beating me in this area. So,
now, there are age groups. Are you going to get your dad signed up too?
I told him about it, and I didn't try to get him to sign up.
When is his birthday?
I told him.
When's Jeff's birthday?
In August.
Okay. What you need to do is say, Dad, for your birthday, I signed you up. Congratulations.
Good idea.
Yep.
By then, the price will increase.
No, you just tell you announce it to him then.
Oh, yeah.
But you
yeah.
do it now.
I do it now.
But you give it to him for his birthday.
Good idea. Hopefully he doesn't see this.
He wants to learn some lessons in forced friendship. Just listen to me.
Yeah. I told him about this, and I was like, I think that I'm going to set a goal for an hour and 50 minutes. And he goes, you could do that now. He's like, no, I couldn't. He's like, you could do it.
Yes,
dad has high hopes for me.
Yeah, well, what you just said is, I mean, that touches exactly on what I hoped to have created with this event is someone like yourself that set a goal. I mean, how many people just don't have a goal, right? I mean, just in life don't have a goal. So to set a goal and accomplish a goal, I think a lot of people will gain if they would just do that, you know, just discipline their minds to some area of life. Set a goal and accomplish it.
One thing I've noticed about myself since I've been training, not running, but lifting, is I set these somewhat lofty goals for myself. Mm-hmm. And I do it, whether it be like, I'm going to deadlift, you know, 365 pounds. and then I'll go to the gym, and I'll work up to 350, and then I'll, you know, slap an extra 15 pounds on the bar, and I won't get it up.
Yeah.
And I walk away and I'm mad, and I do it with everything.
Zach, I'm gonna need you to isolate that sound.
And if I fail at it, there's this part of me that where I know if I fail, I'm gonna get mad, and then the next week I'm gonna absolutely crush it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be really focused afterwards. So it's like either I have a very elated feeling because I hit my goal, or I get super, super driven. And I'm always trying to find ways to make myself more disciplined and more driven in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where my goal number comes from.
Right. Yeah. And then that's what keeps you out there doing it, because you just want to keep bettering yourself.
So if people want to sign up, learn more information, where do they go?
TNTEnduranceSports.com. You can register for the race right there. TNT Endurance Sports on Facebook has a link also to the registration. So, check out our website, has the most information on it, tntendurancesports.com.
That's awesome.
So, want to run down because the price is going to be changing, right? The price will be going up in increments as the event gets closer.
That's right. And the reason for that, it's an industry standard. Not that I'd necessarily want to follow every industry standard, but the reason for that is we kind of need to know there's timing. Like I was on the phone yesterday with the people potentially that are going to do the medals. And these people are telling me from the time I placed the order, we're 75 days from there. So, you know, I need to kind of have some numbers. So that's an incentive for people to sign up so I can kind of get some numbers. So I can kind of somewhat gauge, you know, how many medals, shirts, that kind of thing I'm going to need to, and also to be able to inform the crews that are working, you know, the police department, things like that, that are going to help with locking down streets. Like,
right.
You know, how many people are moving through here, and then what's our estimated time?
All right. Yeah, I think right now it's at $51 for the half marathon. I didn't look at the other ones.
Yeah, and
I'm registering for the other ones. I'm not one of those psychopaths that's going to sign up for every race.
Yeah, and
I don't know how you can register. You can't run all of these at the same time, no. Right? You'd have to. That's not an option.
Would
in
you
this
be
case.
Like? Could you like do the half mile, come back, then start the 5K, come back, then do the 10K, come back, and then finish out with the half?
And I've done some races where. I've done some races where you if you're going to do an hour and 50, you probably could do that, because there's always the stragglers that are just behind.
I've done races like 5K, 10K, where the 10K kind of loops out beyond the 5K and then comes back and meets up with them. Mm. And you 100%. I never say anything. One thing I'll say about the running community is very supportive. You don't knock people. You don't talk bad or whatever, but you feel a certain sense of pride if you motor up and you run some people down there doing the 5K and you doubled up their speed and you are distance and you are.
I bet that's probably running,
especially in like not if somebody who's like, but like especially if it's like a 22-year-old kid that thought he was hot stuff going in and blew up on the 5K, you take pride in that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you can run the 5K if you're listening and you want to do it very casually. It's a run or a walk, and you can do it for $29.
Yeah,
so very very attainable price point.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned run, walk. So again, I want everyone in the community that wants to participate. You don't have to run the entire thing. You don't have to run any of it. You can walk it. We will stay there until the last one's finished.
All these jokes about the pickup bus, and you can just stay out all night.
Yeah.
Travis would like to have his transponder back, but at some point, though.
Keep walking.
Yeah.
Carl Pointer Brothers is in the chat. Hey, Carl, we need somebody on a bike to pace this race.
That's right.
Man,
or a skateboard.
Or both. Yeah, whatever you want. Just leave the
paintball. They're our brothers.
Just leave the paintball gun at home. We don't need any of that on the course.
Once again, the skateboard on the city streets of Newcastle could lead to some mayors being responsible for problems.
Hit the road.
Pothole. You had a pothole on a skateboard.
The roads are closing.
Uphill.
Most of those, I know that course. It's pretty good. Those roads are in pretty good shape. I mean, that's a lot. That's my turf. Newcastle is my turf. Most of those roads are in pretty good shape. I can tell you where the potholes are, because I run the dark and I have to know where they're at.
Wonder Brothers pacing. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah. Good idea. It's got a ring to it.
Got a lot of opportunities to play matchmaker here today. Boss Hogger Liberty with B2B. All right, Zach. Robin Miller, a alumni of the show. His dream came true today.
Yeah, he's smiling in his grave.
From beyond the grave, Robin Miller is smiling.
I had to look this up. I hadn't even seen this.
You didn't? You were unaware?
I was unaware. I've been in a bubble. My wife had her knee replaced on Monday, so I've been the at home care person, and I saw this in the thing, so I looked it up beforehand to see what this announcement was.
So this is they talk about preparation. This is an announcement for the 2024 Indy 500.
Oh wow!
They announced it today, 500 days in advance of the race, 500 days yeah. in advance of 500 miles. They stole the media cycle from all the other teams that were making announcements today at IndyCar Media Day is what happened.
Oh, yeah, they did.
So that's poor.
They dropped a nuke on Media
Day. Unco yeah. Hollinger Racing and their big announcement today got completely sent below the fold or to page 3, black and white. But Kyle Larson, who's the NASCAR Cup Series champion, he's probably at the Chili Bowl right now running midgets. He has danced around with the idea of running the Indy 500, the biggest open wheel race in the world. And his car owner has said, yes, I'm in. In fact, I'm going to pay for it. So Rick Hendrick of Hendrick Automotive Group is sponsoring the car. They're going to partner with the McLaren team, and they're going to run the Indy 500 in 2024 with Kyle Larson. Probably the second highest profile driver to come to the Indy 500 in the last 20 years.
Domestically, the highest profile worldwide. Yeah, probably second. Fernando Alonso's visit was probably greater worldwide, but Kyle Larson is a generational talent and who wins at everything. And so for him to have a year and a half heads up with Hendrick's blessing and financial backing and McLaren, which is a killer team, to be at the 500,
they are one of the two best teams at the Speedway yeah. as of this moment.
Yeah, and their drivers for this next year were second, third, and fourth last year, I believe, in the 500. At least one for a different team. Yeah, that's enormous. I didn't think that. I wonder if that was ever going to happen. That was the thing where Kyle's like, "Yeah, I'll do it." He's like most kids that were killing the game at 19, 20, whatever, when he kind of came on the scene, but he never seemed like he was actually pursuing it. He was always like, yeah, I'd do it. And a lot of them are like, yeah, I'd do it. And he's also, it's not like he's doing the double.
He's going
to
run Charlotte.
Plans to run Charlotte that night too. So I just finished up the John Andretti book this week. And so he talked about doing the double. So that'd be interesting to see all the logistics and stuff that go into making that happen. So yeah, that'd be cool. That'd be, I mean, huge for the 500 and huge for Larson and Hendrick and all those guys. That'll be a fun story to follow for the day.
It's always good to get the outsider's perspective. Travis and Dakota, do you have any idea who Kyle Larson is, and does he move the needle for you in any way?
Not for me.
Not
I'm
for Dakota.
Sorry.
Yep, that's fine. That's fine.
NASCAR fans will watch the race because of him in it, though. And that's a big crowd. That's a couple of million people to watch every race.
As if you need more people crammed into the Speedway.
Well, the Speedway is full, but it's the TV audience and the folks that come for the month of May, not just race day.
A rising tide lifts all boats.
I want to see the livery, though, because...
Is it going to be papaya with the Hendrick blue?
Yeah.
So many questions.
Evidently, McLaren is very picky about their liveries. They want papaya orange in there, and they've had some ugly cars to cram that orange into a car. So I want to see Hendrick's... liveries usually are like blue and white with maybe some red thrown in there.
Do you remember, Dakota, during COVID when everybody was racing electronically?
Yeah.
And there was a driver who accidentally said a word and got fired from his job?
Yeah, I do remember that.
That was Kyle Larson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He landed on his feet very nicely.
Yeah. He had to sell his houses were for sale. I mean, he was in a rough spot for a little while there, but then he actually ended up better off because he got cut by a team that hadn't really been utilizing his talents to their full ability. And then he gets picked up by the premier team in NASCAR and wins a championship his first year back.
He basically had to take a year of vacation. Yeah. During the COVID year, he essentially went and did grassroots dirt track racing all across the country and honed his skills, then came back and won the cup championship.
Just like when Lightning McQueen came back against Jackson Storm in Cars 3.
Exactly the same.
Except he didn't do anything wrong in Cars 3. That's a great movie.
This is a good movie.
Those are great movies. Cars are great movies. Two, not so much. One and three.
Famous. Yeah, two kind of sucks. But
yeah.
All right. Let's work our way into final thoughts.
It's like Mario 2.
Without upsetting the folks at Pixar for picking apart Cars 2. Zach, do you have any final thoughts for me?
No, this weather's awful, though. I ran today. It was awful. But other than that, not much. Looking forward to see how this event goes off. Always fun to see races. Like I haven't bounced back to the running racing scene from COVID. I was doing like 12 to 16 races a year. Haven't really gotten back in the swing of that. The shorter the distance I have to drive to races is the better part. It's because my kids are older. And it's harder to get people up to get motivated to drive to wherever to go do a race. So the more races we have locally, the better.
All right. Travis, if people want to utilize the services of Olive Leaf, how do they get a hold of you? How do they? This is a shameless self-promotion opportunity.
Okay. Yeah. Again, on Facebook, go to Olive Leaf Landscaping. Or you can get a hold of me directly. Do you give your phone number?
Sure, anything you want to do.
You can call.
I mean, listen, Christy Avery may text you about something. You never know.
That's fine. Yeah. So you can call me at 765-520-8009. And you can get a hold of us. You can look us up on the internet, too. So we can find us all those places.
You're just tired of mowing and you want to outsource it. Call them up.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. All right, Dakota, what do you got?
Thanks, Travis, for coming on, first of all.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks for putting on the event. Over the past month, you know, because I have been lifting weights and things for about 4 years now, it's easy to forget what making those big strides feels like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just over the course of a month, I did my first run and I wanted to run 2 miles and I wound up running about a mile and then walking. And now I did 3 miles in the humid and the rain today.
Yeah.
And in less than 30 minutes. So it's good to have that feeling back. And I would have never started if you hadn't started this thing. So that's been something really good for me. And I've already started to enjoy the process. And as my wife can attest to, I've already started to show some obsessive behavior over it and looking up running shoes and running clothes and things. And I'm really excited about it. Really looking forward to the event. And just seeing what you can do with it and being a part of it as well. So, just thanks for coming on. Thanks for putting it on.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. And, that's great to hear you say that. That it's inspired you. Hopefully it's meant to inspire many others to get out there and do something difficult. Put yourself out there to have a goal and accomplish that goal.
All right. So real quick from me, I will say that our new friends, Brayton Laster and Gavin, are down in Daytona doing their ARCA test. They were in here 2 weeks ago. We have sent them the logo file where the Boss Hog of Liberty sponsorship will be appearing on their car at Daytona for the big NASCAR ARCA race in February. It's a part of their of Brayton's charitable organization, Drive for Humanity. So driveforhumanity.com. Any level you put a dollar in, they will put your name on the side of a race car that's going to run at Daytona. So we did a little bit more than that to get the logo on the car, but it's a great thing. Fun kids. Frankie Muniz, do you know who he is?
Did you see he's run against Malcolm in the Middle?
Yeah, Malcolm in the Middle.
Oh, I saw that article.
He's also going to be in the race now.
Yeah, he's running the full ARCA.
Cool. So that'll get some eyes on it.
So when all hell breaks loose, look for the Boss Hog logo because it is going to be Frankie and then about 30, 17 to 22-year-olds with limited experience running around the high banks of Daytona.
That'll be pretty cool.
It's going to be fun. Very much looking forward to seeing the Boss Hog Ford. I was always a Chevy guy, but the Boss Hog Ford on track in speed wakes at Daytona. So with that, we say thank you guys very much for being a part of the show, joining us. We will be back next Thursday with Running Talk 2.0 with Woo Watterson. Thanks,
Dakota. That's right.